The Sound of Economics, a podcast series by Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic think tank. I am Yuyun Zhan, host of our monthly podcast, Zhonghua Mundus, that brings you recent updates about China's economy. As usual, I am with our senior fellow, Alicia Garcia Herrero. Hi, Alicia, how are you?
Hello, Yuyun.
And we're also glad to have with us today Mark Haiing, the global technology reporter and columnist for NRC Handelsblatt. Nice to meet you, Mark, and welcome to The Sound of Economics.
Wow, thanks for having me, Yuyun.
Thanks for coming. So let's dive into the topic. Nexperia is a Dutch-based semiconductor manufacturer, but it's owned by China's WingTech Technology. On 30th September this year, the Dutch Minister of Economic Affairs invoked the Good Availability Act, but since then much has happened. While the decision now has been revoked, but tensions remain quite high. So today we're breaking down what happened, why it matters, and what it tells us about Europe's shifting strategy toward China. So Mark, walk us through how this all started and how we got to the current standoff.
Well, actually, that depends on how far you want to turn the clock back. So if you look at Nexperia as a company, it builds these very basic chips you use to switch off or on lights, for example, or parts of your car. Very important, but they're very cheap. And it's like basic legacy technology, and they make, I think, 110 billion of these tiny chips every year. Used to be part of Philips, the Dutch electronics company, but it was spun off with NXP, and then in 2016 it was sold to a Chinese company, or at least an investor group, GAC, and in 2019 it was acquired by WingTech. That was the first huge takeover of a Western semiconductor company with its own IP by Chinese companies. Back in the day, of course, there were some geopolitical tensions when it came to advanced semiconductor manufacturing. But there wasn't so much attention on the legacy part because they were deemed not too important, not too relevant for the whole discussion about AI supremacy. So WingTech had the opportunity and the ambition to make Nexperia into a thriving global player. So Wing, or Zhang Tuse, really had the ambition to build out in Europe as well. But he saw his possibilities.
The CEO of the company, right?
Yeah, he's the CEO. Let's call him Wing, that's easier, because my Chinese pronunciation is not very on par. Things for Nexperia actually were doing pretty well because the market was growing. But underneath, and there was more pushback from the United States, for example, on WingTech itself. And then back in December 24, I think it was BIS that put Nexperia holding company WingTech on the entity list. So Wing was forced to sell off a couple of his companies. It frustrated him very much. I spoke to him just before the summer, and he really had the feeling that he was forced to sell his baby. But on the, at the same time, the U.S. was preparing an affiliate list that was also having an impact on the daughter companies or the joint ventures of the companies, Chinese companies that were on the entity list. And so that meant for Nexperia that it could also be affected by export controls. And that really was an issue. So what Nexperia, still like a Dutch company because its headquarters is in the Netherlands, which means it falls under the Dutch law, it reached out to the Ministry of Economic Affairs and said, we're trying to deal with this. We really want to be a global player for that, but then you have to assure us that we're regarded as a European player. And for this to happen, the economic affairs wanted Wing to not step down, but create some oversight in the company so he wouldn't be the only one making the decisions. And at first, he agreed to that option. So there were talks between Wing and the Ministry of Economic Affairs. Okay, let's find a new structure that makes the company less Chinese. And it's only for the Well, for the opportunity to keep on growing, because Wing was very ambitious. He wanted to, I think, quadruple the revenue. And for a while, it seemed that he was, well, coming along with this plan and adopting it. But suddenly, this summer, things turned sour, and Wing made a 180, so to speak. There were, he changed his attitude to the Ministry of Economic Affairs. He started putting his straw man, so his own people, at very crucial divisions of the company. So he could gain access to all the financial parts of the company. And he ousted a couple of people in the board who were critical about his way of dealing. And there was also the suspicion that he was kind of using Nexperia to keep his other company afloat, which is Wing Sky Semi. And so he had this list of like bloated orders from Nexperia to produce wafers at Wing Sky Semi. And it was really a huge amount of money. I think it was like 120 million euros. And that was deemed as mismanagement, so to speak. And if you look back at Wing's past, then so Wing doesn't have a clean slate when it comes to doing business. And that was the time when his fellow board members really got worried that he was preparing to get technology from Europe to China. And for Europe, that's a problem, because we're depending, our car industry is also depending on Nexperia chips. And that way, this conflict kind of suddenly got way worse when there was a serious threat that the US would add the affiliate rule to the entity list. So Wing broke off his talks with the economic ministry in the Netherlands. And that was the moment in time when the economic ministry started deploying this law. They had preparing for that situation already a year in advance, so they were examining this. Okay, what options do we have to keep this situation under our control, or semi under our control? And this was the best they could do. But it was also very important for the judge, like this impartial, sovereign judicial system in the Netherlands. It's called the Enterprise Chamber. It's like a judge for companies. And the fellow board members of Wing, the European members, filed a complaint at the Ondernemingskamer, or the Enterprise Chamber. And it was very clear in its judgment, and Wing was ousted on day one, which is historical. So there's this obscure law that's historical, but that's the Dutch state. But the real pain in this whole situation is the fact that Wing is ousted by the judge, that he's deprived of his shares, or at least control of his shares. And I realized that there's a lot of emphasis in international press on the acts of the Dutch minister, but if you look at the facts, it's really a result of the court decision to oust Wing, because he lost control over his company. And I think that's kind of underestimated, because well, it makes less spectacular headlines to say that somebody who was not running the company as well as he could was deprived of his of his shares, because that's what would happen to anybody. What would happen to a Swedish CEO or a German CEO who was accused of mismanagement?
You have been obviously like following Nexperia for quite some time, and you know the company well, and it's good to give us a big start. Like you said, there was two independent decisions, one coming from the Dutch Ministry of Economic and Finance, but the real judiciary coming from the court, which are like two independent decisions, right? So it's important to state that here.
Yeah, and what is often confused is the fact that the court decision was not spurred or stimulated by the Dutch government. So this whole idea of nationalization is kind of incorrect.
So you did mention that this is a more a judiciary case coming from the Netherlands, that the US is not too involved, but then we can really see that from all the developments, like the suspension of the ban also comes after this Trump-Xi meeting in Busan, South Korea. So I just want to throw in the question of like, what is the US role in this, like?
Well, let's not talk about countries in this specific question, but let's talk about politicians who usually underestimate the effects of their decisions. And as you've seen, that the initial problem started with all these export controls in the US that used to be about a small yard high fence. Suddenly, it also affected all these. Cheap chips that are deemed legacy, but are produced in but they're produced in these massive amounts that it's very hard to replace them on a day's basis. So there's a lot of dependencies within all of the industries, especially the car industry. And so if you start pulling these strings in the semiconductor supply chain, in the end, it'll hurt yourself. And this is something that a lot of politicians don't realize, how dependent they are on this global supply chain when it comes to semiconductors. And I think that was underestimated by US politicians because it's not for nothing that they kind of postponed this affiliate rule. But it also is very much a thing that Vincent Kouwermans, the Dutch Minister of Economic Affairs, underestimated. He wanted to do things silent and swift, but he underestimated the fact that China was deeply insulted, and that was basically a result of the framing that Wing, kind of made public. He framed it as this nationalization, and I think that was embraced. And China also, I think, overreacted in causing this export ban for Dongguan, which resulted in a lot of problems worldwide. Even in Chinese, in the Chinese car industry, they were affected. So, to be short, I think usually politicians tend to underestimate the consequences.
Yeah, Alicia, give us your take on this.
Okay, so maybe I start by wrapping up a little bit because, for our readers, they might not be experts. I think we have two key dates and events before. Mark, I'm trying to kind of summarize what you said, but with the, you have our audience, and events after, and then November 19th. That this is kind of the timeline. September 30th, expansion of the entity list to subsidiaries. Nexperia happens to be one. There's 2,000 others. Yeah. The fact that Nexperia could end up in this entity list was known to WinTech, to the Dutch authorities, to everybody, because we all knew this was going to come. And, if you were a subsidiary, you were on the hook. That's before. Before, as you said, the Dutch government had given all kinds of warnings, yeah, that to Nexperia, to WinTech, and Zhang, the person running, still, by the way, he's still running WinTech, no matter, the Dutch, of course, the Dutch court may have said on the 8th of October he's ousted, but he's being compensated, I have to say this, because he's being maintained by the parent company, and if anything, further supported. I just read, some comments on the local government, which actually happens to own 30% of that at WinTech. No questions asked. I say this because this is quite important. So, first of all, the question really as to the US involvement is, why was ending up in the entity list such a negative theme for Nexperia? Just a reminder to the audience that before that 30th of September, already there's a lot of evidence that WinTech wanted to transfer the production of chips to the mainland. And this is a problem for Europe. Let's put that up front and for the Netherlands, for Nexperia, for the Netherlands, and for Europe. Yeah? Because the export controls that now Nexperia is facing, imagine if the whole production is in China. I mean, it's just... So, okay, so these are the two themes. A threat of losing a huge capacity of legacy chips in Europe, and then this entity list. When one talks about why China opposed, dramatically opposed, the expansion of the entity list to the point of reacting with these October export controls on rare earth, what people say is, because many of these subsidiaries were being used to import advanced chips back to the mainland through the subsidiaries, okay? I wonder, was Nexperia doing this? Or why is this such a big deal? Or are we overestimating, to your point, the role of this enlargement of the entity list? And the whole problem for the Dutch government and the judge was first misconduct, but also for the Dutch government, the fact that the production was leaving. Because this is a key question. If it's that, what a bad timing, because it's on the day.
Okay, Alicia, let's try to cut these topics in and structurize them. I totally agree with the bad timing argument. And I do think that the Dutch could have prevented a lot of problems just by reaching out to the Chinese government or Chinese representatives and saying, hey, we're dealing with this kind of rogue entrepreneur that's trying to get this technology to China, and we'll have a huge problem in Europe because we're depending on it too much. So I would say a more asking for help in solving this issue. I think that would be an option that would have prevented a lot of the diplomatic turmoil. So reaching out. And please do realize that even though the Netherlands are a small country, we do have something that China badly wants, and which is, of course, ASML's lithography tools, and because there are no alternatives for that. So I think the Dutch would have had a way to negotiate and to find a solution with the Chinese, maybe even keeping everybody happy on this topic. That might have also prevented this court decision, because it would have kept Wing in place and the whole ambition, because I'm pretty sure he wanted to build out an Nexperia, and he was ambitious in a good way, but it wasn't possible because he found that the times had changed, that globalization was really dead. So I think what, getting back to this historical perspective, the pandemic changed a lot. It proved how vulnerable Europe was when it came to semiconductor productions. But that was mainly because, there was a lack of capacity in Taiwan. But the European politicians realized that we really have to keep our production, and even though it's legacy, but it's still front-end production, we have to keep it in Europe. And when Wing started pulling and trying to get this front-end production to China as well, I think that triggered a lot. There was really this recognition of the fact that we're depending on China so much when it comes to semiconductor production or the electronics or you name it. The Netherlands and Europe don't want to lose that that industry. And I think that was not realized back in 2016 or 17 when Nexperia was sold. And there was no way, no law, that gave the Dutch government the opportunity to intervene in this Chinese acquisition. There's a law now, but it's too late. So that's why they kind of reinvented this obscure law from the 50s. So it's over 70 years old. And they used that old law to, well, get a bit of control back, but it wasn't sufficient. So it really was the court decisions that did the most harm to Wing.
Just a note, Eugen, because this is what I've read, but Mark, you tell me, you know the company better than me. My understanding is that even if this happened in the good old times, before COVID and before our economic security strategy, you name it, and before the European investment screening 2020, there was this understanding that China would not, or WinTech, not China, but I would say China too, because WinTech didn't buy Nexperia alone. Yeah, WinTech couldn't buy Nexperia. This reminds me of ChemChina buying Syngenta. ChemChina had to go through a huge merger to buy Syngenta. WinTech had to go to the China's big funds, which are the semiconductor funds, big industrial policy, use GERI, this company similar to Midea, is a white goods company, flood this company with money to then invest in WinTech for WinTech to buy Nexperia.
And for a huge amount, I think it was $3.6 billion.
So, okay, all of this, and you tell me if I'm wrong, with the, I don't know whether formal agreement or informal or understanding that the production will remain in Europe. Correct?
That was definitely the case, because back in that time, there was no WinSky Semi and there was no fab in Shanghai with a 12-inch wafer facility. But of course, back-end production is cheaper in China compared to Europe, but also front-end production. But still, there's more than money involved. It's also about strategy and dependencies, and Europe has to pay a price to rebuild its sovereignty for this technology.
So this is where the U.S. decision, in my humble opinion, I'm behaving like a detective here, sorry for this, but this is where the enlargement of the subsidiary or the subsidiaries into the entity list play a role, in my view. My reading, you tell me if I'm wrong. As you said, a 12-inch wafer needs, obviously, design from the U.S. And probably for WinTech, it was convenient to have an Nexperia to make this very easy, until it was not convenient anymore. And the price considerations, as you said, the cost considerations became stronger. But until the US were to allow Nexperia to get stuff that WinTech would not be able to get in the mainland, Nexperia was useful in Europe. So the minute you get these export controls, I mean, it is kind of as again, surprising that it happens literally on the minute, on the day, because, you know, you could have given it a little bit of a flavor so people don't read what I'm trying to read here, but never mind. The fact is that, in a way, locating or keeping Nexperia in Europe, that doesn't have a positive angle for WinTech, which it did have before. For me, this is the only way to square the circle. This is not about U.S. influence. This is, in a way, an unintended consequence of the decision. So I would like to hear your views.
Look, all WING was about was increasing efficiency, because when it comes to this, the production of very cheap chips, so we're speaking about semiconductors that cost about 4 cents each. So every gain you can make in creating a better volume or higher yield, it keeps the company afloat. So he wanted to increase production initially in the UK, but that was prevented by the forced rolling back of this plant he bought in Newport. Then he wanted to expand in Hamburg in Germany. That took a while because there was not a lot of European money involved. And then he started investing for himself, which he did. But he saw his options to create more efficiency in Europe deteriorate. And he started also expanding in at WinSky Semi in Shanghai. But WinSky Semi wasn't doing well. So there was a lack of a customership apart from Nexperia. And to keep it afloat, he wanted Nexperia to increase its orders in another realistic way. So that kind of is prohibited by law. So that's the reason why the court intervened. And I think the main issue is to create a global player that can build these legacy chips in an efficient way. You have to have a huge production. And if you can't expand in Europe the way you want to, then WING thought he had to expand in China. And of course, it's more efficient, it's cheaper, so it makes sense, but it didn't align with the European strategy anymore.
I would like to again go back to this idea. Yeah, so this company trying to move production, the reasons, as you said, maybe warranted in their view. Geely is actually one of their main clients, their own investor. Yeah, so they had the European market and this white good company needing a lot of legacy chips. But you're right, they're not a big player in China. And you have SMIC, you have Humongous, and this huge overcapacity legacy chips in China. So, for them, the key would be to produce cheaper in China, but to sell to Europe, still sell to Europe. I think that that is clear. So, in a way, I think what this shows is that for Europe to rethink, the Netherlands, say, to rethink something that may not have gone as expected. Yeah, the expectation was this company helps us produce legacy chips. We need them. It's our own customers. So, why not? Didn't work because the risk of losing was very obvious. And this has nothing to do with the US, to your point. Maybe the US made it less appealing to Wintec to keep Nexperia in Europe, but that's it. That is not a major force.
Alicia, let's take a next leap because I just visited Semicon Europe in Munich, and there's a lot of emphasis on the CHIPS Act 2.0, and there's this realization in Europe that, of course, we're depending on Chinese technology when it comes to the legacy chips, but there's a huge dependency when it comes to the AI chips that are designed in the US and manufactured in Taiwan mainly. And of course, there was this AI Diffusion Act. I think Trump pulled the plug on that, but there's still this potential threat that America, which is not the ally it used to be before, can prevent us from acquiring these AI chips, or prevent Europe from acquiring these AI chips. So there's a dependency on both sides, and Europe needs to start realizing that it has to be able to support itself when it comes to these crucial technologies, and that can be AI in the future, and defense, and well, a new economic prosperity. Apart from that, there's also the legacy dependency that's huge, and it turned out to be something that we very much underestimated.
But Mark, sorry to say, it's a very different case. Let me tell you why. Nexperia was able to produce legacy chips. China bought that company with the expectation of keeping it in Europe. As you said, nothing is forever, but that was the idea. Company was about to be pushed outside. But Nexperia had the technology. In the case of AI chips, we don't have it. It's the opposite case. You know what I mean? Like, okay, here, in terms of economic policy for Europe, I want to make this loud and clear. One thing is that you pray TSMC to come to Germany or, you name it, or to Europe, wherever. You pray them. Hopefully, there will be some ecosystem. You learn something. Maybe you won't get, as the US probably doesn't either so far, get the whole, ability to repeat what TSMC is doing or fine. But, if TSMC pulls out, it's their own technology. You know what I mean? It's not comparable. In the case of Nexperia, this is European technology. So here's my point. How on earth, sorry to say this, can Europe not have some form of formal protection of technology when inbound FDI, i.e., the Wintecs of the world, and it's not because of China, anybody comes in and buys a company? No matter whether they buy at a huge price, I couldn't care less. The point is, if this is relevant, this is 40% of the supply chain of auto-related chips, there has to be a way for Europe to have a say. I feel sorry for you, for your government, this is not only for the Netherlands, this is for the whole Europe. And the fact that there was no European level reaction to this, for me, is mind-boggling.
Okay, now let's zoom in on the European reaction, because I think that it was somehow caused by the way that Vincent Kerstens handled this situation, because he was hoping to do it swift and silent, I think, and that was also by in bypassing is the European member states, even Germany, which has a huge car industry. And that really, I think, was a misjudgment of things happening. Him underestimating China's response was, I think, a wrong approach, but also underestimating the fact that it is a European problem. And of course, basically, it was in his explanation of his acts, but on the other hand, he didn't act on it, and he didn't warn Brussels or other member states. And I think that should be a lesson that these problems should really have like a pan-European system to make sure that whatever we have left of semiconductor industry, that we protect it. Getting back to the Nexperia problem, I think there was this idea that we had a balance in front-end production, the most advanced part of semiconductor manufacturing in Europe, and back-end production in China. Well, that there was a nice balance in that. But by shifting and moving parts of front-end production also to China, they lost balance. That was the reason that the Dutch realized, well, we have to intervene in some way.
But will this set a precedent for future interventions?
I don't know what the policy response should be, but what I know is that we should, I mean, and we have sectors out there. Yeah, we have four sectors identified as key for economic security. One is semiconductors. You have biotech, we have quantum, and AI. Of course, Europe cannot back from a decision to sell a company. I think that is clear. Otherwise, but Europe could put some conditions as to when if you buy a company in Europe, which is in key sectors. Well, I mean, there's no doubt that China would do this, yeah, and the U.S. as well with CFIUS, is that you cannot void the company from content in Europe, and that for doing that you need to have a conversation with the government that has allowed you to buy the company, yeah. I mean, that is, I think, bare minimum. And secondly, I think on the mark on the coordinated response by Europe, I think we are back to square one, yeah, 19th of November. We're back to square one. All of these efforts have been futile. I mean, literally, yeah. I mean, China could still decide. Jan remains again the CEO of WinTech. He could decide to empty Xperia again. And who is going to stop this now? Nobody. Because I doubt the Dutch government, after what has happened, dares do it again. So maybe China will take some time, won't do it immediately. Now, of course, Nexperia is useful again because the expansion of the Entity List has not happened for the time being because the US as well has, backtracked from that decision, the Trump administration. So probably it won't happen tomorrow. But we need to be ready. This might happen the day after tomorrow. So for me, the European Union, in its economic security, has to, unfortunately, because this is going to be tough on China, China will be scream again, even more so because now it's not Nexperia, it's any case like Nexperia. But we should have rules by which, even if a company has been privatized, and if there was an agreement that the production would remain in Europe, and this is why this is key, then the production needs to remain in Europe. So this, I think this is the way to go. Because if we don't do this, it would be very difficult. And then, of course, we're still working on outbound investment screening, which would be a way to do this. Because although this is not a European company, Nexperia is actually, if you want, registered as a European, as a Dutch company still today. If you have outbound investment screening, before WinTech brings the technology back, outbound investment screening in Europe should include foreign companies bringing the subsidiary back for technology purposes. These are the two recommendations I have. Because without this, this is going to continue to happen, not only for Nexperia. After this case, 19th of November, basically showdown, it can happen to any company purchased by China or anybody else. Because anybody is watching, they can take the technology and get the door and leave.
I totally agree. Right. I was just triggered by the way that you briefly mentioned CFIUS. And, the funny thing, this whole situation started when Nexperia was spun off and it had approval of CFIUS. The Americans didn't see any a risk in it, especially because it was needed. It was a kind of a remedy when NXP took over Freescale, a US company. And this also shows how much times have changed since then. And there's, I think, it's mainly, well, what's the expression, crying after wasted milk?
Because I heard this already with iStrom 2016. CFIUS stopped the sale of iStrom to the Chinese in 2016. We cannot expect CFIUS to help us every time. We should have our own. It's like, of course, for the US, Nexperia, yes, Detroit, you name it, but it's a European issue. It's 40% of our supply chain. CFIUS cannot do the job for us.
I agree. We need our own CFIUS in that way. Yeah.
Yes, as much as we criticize it, but at the end of the day, we're always expecting the US to solve our problems because we don't want to be seen as spoiling the party with China. But this is, I mean, if I were the US, I would be saying, excuse me, this is your own problem. You deal with it.
Okay. I agree, but on the other end, what's lacking is one pan-European approach to foreign policy, of course. Also, the fact that export controls are like a sovereign thing for member state kind of restricts you on finding a common ground to strike back when China starts threatening with export controls on rare earth or minerals.
I agree.
Just to follow up, Alicia, how do you think this will play out? Because well, I do have an idea that this company will end up split in two. But what's your take?
I think it would have been split in two if the Dutch government wouldn't have given in on the 19th of November. I take it. It was too much pressure. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying. But I think now China will move the technology back to the mainland as soon as the US comes back with the, if it does, if it comes back with the subsidiary list. I think that's what's going to happen because Europe will not be able to respond. The Dutch government will have to let it go.
Now you're mixing up the court decision with the decision of the Ministry of Economic Affairs again. So the court decision is still out there. So this will be a very long procedure, I guess, with a lot of litigation, and that might take a month. But in the meantime, I think Nexperia itself will keep front-end production in Europe, and will try to expand its back-end production in other facilities in Malaysia, mainly to keep production less depending on Dongguan. Because
Sorry, Mark, who is going to decide this? Who is going to do what you just said?
I think there's a company that's effectively split up now, and both sides are accusing each other of mutiny, which is kind of weird because,
But who owns the company? Who owns Nexperia?
I think if you look at who's running the headquarters now, it's like an independent person that was appointed by the judge, and he's like this temporary person who's calling the shots right now. So that's the Dutch approach. But if you look at the possessions of WingTech in China, it's very much WingTech China, that's or Nexperia China as they call themselves. Which is mainly the Dongguan facility close to Shenzhen. And this is regarded as Nexperia China. It's also the entity that's shipping chips from their backend facility to the rest of the world. But China still has a grip on this by all these licenses that are needed.
I'm sorry to say that it will go China's way 100% in my view, because China has won this. I mean, let's face it, the decision on the 19th of November is a win for China. Thus, if China still needs Nexperia in Europe for whatever reason, the US entity list no longer being applicable, the subsidiary, or for because of the court, you name it. It will wait. But that's all we're going to get. And I think Europe's lesson out of this is that we're running against the clock, because there will be other next barriers, because producing in Europe is more expensive. Thus, China has no intention, unless needed, for whatever reason, again, having the beauty of importing software for the whole of the parent from the US, or you name it, any advantage, or, you know, being closer to the customer, learning more. But it has to be a big advantage. And the minute China wants, China will move the production. And it's not only us. China has been doing this even for rare earth refiners in the US at the time of Deng Xiaoping. I mean, it's like, you know, when China was much less powerful, they didn't.
No, it's like a sucking up a lot of technology and using it to its own benefit and creating lower prices that will eventually make European companies or US companies, get out of business, force them out of business, because they can't compete with the prices. But I do think your point about the next period is going to happen anyway, if we're not prepared. I think there's a reason to also, force car manufacturers or any kind of industry to buy European chips, or at least from neutral countries, even though that's more expensive, because you only have to pay for these chips from other regions. And that's the point that Joris Steer, one of my fellow countrymen, so this buy European approach, I think it's a basically a copy of what Trump is doing in the US, forcing chip manufacturers to also produce in the US. I think we're too modest in Europe about that, but it might be an interesting point to consider, that we can't depend too much on China's deliveries anymore, or shipping, because in the end they can force us to shut down our own industries.
That's a good point to end, I think. Very scary.
Indeed, it's a very sobering conclusion note for our podcast. So thank you very much for this interesting conversation. I am Yuyun Zhan. I'm with Alicia Garcia-Herrero from Bruegel and Mark Haiyang, the global technology reporter and columnist for NRC Handelsblatt, who has been following technology topics for a very long time. For listeners, you can find our research on China at Bruegel.org and sign up for Zhonghua Mundus, our monthly China podcast and newsletter, with link in the show notes. So until next time, bye-bye.